The 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 12 and 17 to 20. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out ahead of him in pairs to all the towns and places he himself was to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is rich, but the labourers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send labourers to his harvest. Start off now, but remember, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Carry no purse, no haversack, no sandals. Salute no one on the road. Whatever house you go into, let your first words be, 'Peace to this house.' And if a man of peace lives there, your peace will go and rest on him. If not, it will come back to you. Stay in the same house, taking what food and drink they have to offer, for the labourer deserves his wages. Do not move from house to house. Whenever you go into a town where they make you welcome, eat what is set before you. Cure those in it who are sick and say, 'The kingdom of God is very near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not make you welcome, go out into the streets and say, 'We wipe off the very dust of your town that clings to our feet, and leave it with you. You be sure of this: the kingdom of God is very near. I tell you that on that day it will not go as hard with Sodom as with that town." The 72 came back rejoicing. "Lord," they said, "even the devils submit to us when we use your name." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Yes, I have given you power to tread underfoot serpents and scorpions and the whole strength of the enemy. Nothing shall ever hurt you. Yet do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven."
Jesus has been teaching the parable of the unmerciful servant to a group of his disciples in the garden of the house of the recently converted Mary Magdalene. In conclusion, he says, "Remember that God gives you a great treasure in advance, but he wants you to render an account of it. Remember that no one must be able to grant love and forgiveness like you. Do not be servants who take much for themselves and give nothing to those who ask for help. As you do to others, it will be done to you, and you will be asked to give an account of how other people behave if they have been led to good or to evil by your examples. Oh, if you have sanctified people, your glory in heaven will be really great. But likewise, if you have been corruptors or only sluggish in sanctifying, you will be severely punished. I say to you once again, if any of you does not feel like becoming the victim of his own mission, let him go away. But let him not fail in it. I mean, let him succeed in what is not destructive to his own and other people's perfection. And have God as your friend, always forgiving your weak brothers from your hearts. Then each of you who will forgive will be forgiven by God the Father." Our stay has come to an end. The time of tabernacles is close at hand. As from tomorrow, those to whom I spoke separately this morning will go ahead of me, announcing me to the people. Those who are staying must not lose heart. I have kept some for good reasons, not because I disrespect them. They will be staying with me, and I will soon send them, as I am now sending the first 72 disciples. The harvest is rich, but the labourers are too few compared to what is needed. So there will be work for everyone. But that is not sufficient. So, without being jealous, ask the Lord of the harvest to send new labourers to his harvest. In the meantime, you may go. During the past days, the apostles and I have completed your instructions on the work you have to do, and I have repeated to you what I told the 12 before sending them. One of you asked me, "How will I cure in your name?" Always cure the spirit first. Promise the sick people the kingdom of God if they can believe in me. And once you have ascertained their faith, order the disease to depart and it will go away. And do likewise with those whose souls are ill. Stimulate their faith first of all. By means of sound words, inspire them with hope. I will then come to grant them the divine charity which I put into your own hearts after you believed in me and hoped for mercy. And be not afraid of men or of demons. They will not hurt you. The only things you are to fear are sensuality, pride, and greed. Through them you would hand yourselves over to Satan and devilish men who also exist. Go therefore ahead of me along the roads of the Jordan, and when you arrive in Jerusalem, go and join the shepherds in the valley of Bethlehem and come with them to me in the place you know. We will celebrate the holy feast together, and we will then go back to our ministry more invigorated than ever. I am sending you like sheep among wolves. Be therefore as cunning as serpents and yet as harmless as doves, because you are aware of how the world, in which really there are more wolves than sheep, treats me also, and I am the Christ. I can defend myself by my power, and I will do so until the hour of the temporary triumph of the world comes. But you do not possess that power, and you need greater prudence and simplicity, therefore greater wisdom as well, to avoid being scourged and imprisoned for the time being. Go without riches. Do not take gold or silver or money in your purses, or travelling bag with two or more tunics or spare shoes or pilgrim staff or weapons. Because for the time being your apostolic visits will be short ones, and every Sabbath eve we shall meet, and you will be able to change your sweated garments without having to take spare ones with you. No staff is required, because it is more pleasant to walk without one, and what is useful on hills and plains is different from what is useful in deserts and on high mountains. No weapon is needed. Weapons are useful to men who do not know holy poverty or divine forgiveness. You have no treasures to protect and defend from robbers. The only robber you must fear is Satan, and he is defeated by perseverance and prayer, not by swords and daggers. When entering a house, greet its inhabitants with my salutation, which is the kindest there is. Say, "Peace be with you," "Let peace be in this house," or "Let peace come to this house." In fact, as messengers of Jesus and of the gospel, you take peace with you, and your going to one place is to make peace come to it. If the house is worthy of it, peace will come and remain in it. If it is not worthy of it, your peace will come back to you. So remember to be peaceful yourselves in order to have God as your Father. A Father always helps. And with the help of God, you will do everything and everything well. It may be, nay, it certainly will happen, that a town or house will not receive you, or will not listen to your words but will drive you away, or will ridicule you, or will chase you away, throwing stones at you as boring prophets. In such cases, you must be more than ever peaceful, humble and mild, having acquired such virtues as a habit of life. Otherwise, you will be overwhelmed by anger and you will commit sin, scandalizing and increasing the incredulity of those you wish to convert. If instead you peacefully accept the insult of being driven away, derided, chased, you will convert people by means of this most beautiful sermon, the silent sermon of true virtue. One day you will find on your way the enemies of today, and they will say to you, "We've been looking for you because your behaviour has convinced us of the truth that you announce. Please forgive us and accept us as your disciples because we did not know who you were, but now we know that you are saints. And if you are saints, you must be the messengers of a saint, and we now believe in him." But when leaving the town or the house where you were not received, shake the dust off your sandals so that the pride and harshness of that place may not stick even to the soles of your sandals. I solemnly tell you, on doomsday, Sodom and Gomorrah will be dealt with less severely. Jesus gives the disciples further instructions, then tells them that they are to leave at dawn the following morning. He then says, "Let us pray." And they pray in loud voices. It is some time later. The 72 disciples come back at the long twilight of a clear October day with the shepherd disciples, Elias, Joseph, and Levi. They are tired and covered with dust, but so happy. The three shepherds are also happy now that they are free to serve the Master. They are happy for another reason, because after so many years of separation, they are with their companions of long ago. The 72 are happy because they have accomplished their first mission satisfactorily. Their faces shine more than the little lamps which light up the tents built for the large group of pilgrims. After praying together, they report to Jesus in greater detail than they were able to do before, with so many going and coming. And they are amazed and happy when they say, "Do you know, Master, that not only diseases but also demons abate us because of the power of your name? What a wonderful thing, Master. We poor men were able to release a man from the dreadful power of a demon only because you had sent us." And they tell of many cases which happened here or there. Of one who was possessed, they say, his relatives, or rather his mother and neighbours, brought him to us by force. But the demon scoffed at us, saying, "I have come back here by his will, after the Nazarene had driven me out, and I will not leave him again because he loves me more than he loves your Master, and he searched for me." And with indomitable strength, he suddenly tore himself away from those who were holding him and hurled himself down a precipice. We ran to see whether he had been dashed to pieces. He had not. He was running like a young gazelle, repeating curses and sayings which were not really of this world. We felt sorry for his mother, but he, Oh, can the demon do all that? All that and much more, says Jesus sadly. Perhaps if you had been there. No, I warned that man, go and do not relapse into your sin. But he did. He knew he wanted evil. He is lost. There is a difference between a man who is possessed the first time through his ignorance and a man who wants to be possessed, knowing that by doing so, he sells himself again to the demon. But do not speak of him. He is a member cut off without hope. He is a volunteer for evil. Let us instead praise the Lord for the victories he granted you. I know the name of the culprit and the names of those who have been saved. I could see Satan fall from heaven like a thunderbolt through your merits joined to my name. Because I also saw your sacrifices, your prayers, and the love with which you went towards unhappy people to do what I had told you to do. You have acted with love, and God has blessed you. Others will do what you do, but they will do it without love, and they will not get conversions. Do not rejoice because you have subdued spirits, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Never remove them from there.